Ladies and gentlemen, friends and open-minded people wherever you live across the United States of America, Europe, and the world. This is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. And I've been preaching this literally since I was 14, 15 years old. Even in my rowdy days as a young Klan leader, but one that totally, not only did not commit violence or promote violence or defend violence, but literally absolutely condemned any sort of violence and even any sort of hate and even the kind of discrimination that discriminated against people on the basis of their race or heritage. If you're a citizen of a country and, you know, you're paying your taxes, you're living here like anybody else, you do deserve to be have your advancement based on your abilities, your history, your record. That's what I've always promoted. Funny, I even sponsored a bill after I got elected to the House of Representatives on that program, as well as on the program of the right of people to defend our borders and continue to keep our basic heritage in our own country, which is about every nation kind of understands. The people in Turkey sure do. It's 90% Turks, and they're proud of it, and they want to keep it that way. And I think the Chinese understand that. It doesn't mean you can't have an immigrant or a few immigrants or a number of different minorities in the country treated fairly, hopefully. But it does matter. There's a right to exist as individuals with your personal rights and your sovereign rights over your own body, which was taken away from us, by the way, during the COVID crisis. But there's a right for individual rights, and there's also a right for a people, for an expression of humanity to exist. And you know what? We've always kind of recognized that idea. I mean, I think even the Old Testament, I don't know about the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was about Jewish supremacy. Completely. I mean, it literally said the whole nations of the world would crawl on their bellies to the Jews. But then again, what's important to point out here, yes, that's in Isaiah, it's in Ezra, it's in a lot of the Old Testament, that God has a special covenant with Jews, the Jews are the chosen people. But any Christian who believes that has never really read the words of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ said that he and his Father in heaven love all mankind. There's no chosen people by their genealogy anymore. In fact, Jesus explicitly says that. And he says we shouldn't hate others, meaning we shouldn't oppress them or harm them. The New Testament and the Old talks about 70 different nations created by the Most High God, 70 different nations. Interestingly enough, it's in Deuteronomy. There's so many places it's around. It's in Psalms 82. Divine counsel, in fact, doesn't sound exactly like monotheism, and maybe it's not, because Judaism wasn't really, for most of its history, wasn't strictly monotheistic. It really started out as a Yahwism, meaning that their chief god was Yahweh, but at the same time, they many, many times recognized other gods and worshipped other gods. And believe it or not, if you don't read the Old Testament and you don't read it with open eyes rather than a veil over your eyes, you'll realize that a lot of that went on even as talked about in the Old Testament. Yeah, we've heard of King Solomon, one of the great kings, son of David, right? And he had a temple to Yahweh, but he also built a temple to Moloch. Yes, the same Moloch who was supposedly, you know, massacring and murdering babies. He had a temple to Moloch that he had built right across the valley from the Jerusalem Judaic temple. Jesus later came to see that Judaism was whatever it once was. It was not that way when he got there. When he came around, about 140 years before Jesus came, the Hasmoneans basically took over, and Judaism began a transformation to a very radical form of Judaism. And they even affected, I must tell you, the so-called texts. And when Christian Jews' texts that were taken from the what's called the Masoretic Testament, the Jewish Bible, the Hebrew Bible, when they took those texts, they had been redacted and redacted and redacted and by Jews, which became more and more radical Jews. And in the version that they created, in fact, in Psalms, you know, well, let's go this way. Jeremiah 8, and you'll read about the lying scribes. Beware, said Jeremiah, of the poisoned pen of the scribes. He said, how can we call ourselves just when you look at these poison lies of the scribes? And most of Christianity rejected not only the explicit murders and massacres of the Old Testament, which I think any Christian would be. I think any Christian who believes in Christ and believes that there's nothing worse than harming a child, like Christ said, you harm a child, you make a child even stumble, you should go to the bottom of the sea with a millstone tied around your neck. That's pretty harsh. Well, there's a lot of massacre of children in the Old Testament. And there was famous theologians of the Christian church, like Jerome was a perfect example, who translated the text into the Vulgate, into Latin. So he knew a lot about it. And he says, don't you believe that these carnal accusations in the Old Testament, massacres, and even taking the little girls. In fact, it's called in Chronicles, it says, see, these Gentiles, right? And by the way, Gentiles are us. Sounds like, you know, it's not how toys are us, it's Gentiles are us. We're Gentiles. All right. We have a cultural and literally physical ancestry the same as the Greeks and the Romans and the Germans, and the people that actually once lived in Turkey, for that matter. Constantinople was part of the Roman Empire. I mean, when you look at the histories of Europe, we're Goyim. And the Old Testament basically said that Jews are a chosen people. But we had Christ come along and say, no, it's not right. And any human rights activist would say no, that every human being should be treated justly and kindly and fairly. It didn't say that. It does say in the New Testament that the truth is, it doesn't matter if you're a Samaritan, it doesn't matter if you're a Greek, a Roman, a Jew. It's okay. It doesn't say that you don't have a right to preserve your particular traditions and heritage, even your genealogy. Do you want your kids to look like you or follow in your footsteps and recommend and savor and exalt your ancestors and traditions and values and histories and all that stuff? It just says that you got to treat everybody fairly. And the grace of God, the Father in heaven, the Father of Jesus Christ, what he called his Father, was a very different Father as described by the people who were the scribes of Judaism. The scribes of the Judaism were absolute racial, master race, supremacists, and genociders. Christ corrected all that with what's called the New Covenant. And if you're a Christian, you also accept that, whatever you think of the Old Testament. But I guarantee you, Christ corrected a lot of the Old Testament. He said, listen, it said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's right, Leviticus. It's right in the Jewish law, 613 laws, which, by the way, nobody could keep all those laws except Christ. The idea was he could keep all those laws. Therefore, he could make revolutionary because he's the only one that could do that. Nobody could do that but Jesus Christ. That was the essence of the contract with humanity, which is talked about in Revelation. Whether it's accurate or not, it's just true. You just couldn't keep those 613 commandments. So the Christians came along and Christ came along and said, look, it's also a matter of faith. I've got what they ask him, what's your greatest commandment? He says, you know, love God, which is, he said, my father is a God of love, but my father is just like me. If you want to see the face of God, look at my face. I mean, sons often look like their fathers, don't they? Or their mothers, and both? Think about it. And he says, if you want to know the true spirit of my father, listen to what I tell you. Trust me. He's my father. And he said, nobody's ever seen him really but me. Nobody's even heard his voice. Yes, that's in the New Testament. It's also in the New Testament by the words of Christ, as my father was never a believer in testing, never a believer in tempting. That's in the Lord's Prayer. The wonderful Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our trespasses, so we forgive those who trespass against us, or our debts, those who, but, you know, deliver us from, you know, but also what? What else does he say? What does he say? Forgive us for our trespasses. And he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's the actual original words. It's lost in translation. Transliteration would be deliver us from the evil one. But Jesus Christ himself, and in the New Testament, it says that my father, he says, my father doesn't test and doesn't tempt. Now, if that might contradict a little bit with the Old Testament, it does contradict a little bit the Old Testament, because God was constantly tempting. Christ trusted. He didn't tempt. He didn't try to be like a policeman and entrap you. He didn't go to a man who was desperate for money to pay his bills, to feed his children, and then say, oh, do this illegal thing, you know. And then as soon as they set the guy up, oh, yes, I can give you this deal and you can make a lot of money. As soon as he does that, then he's put in jail and his kids are in worse shape. Those are just a little bit of theologies. But we're going to go into Tucker today and interview. And people have been liking this since I can't get on. Someday, hopefully, I'll be able to sit down for a long and deep and decent and tolerant conversation with Tucker. And I think that he said a lot of negative things about me over the years. I mean, he's even called me a CIA agent with no proof whatsoever. And the truth is, yeah, I'm a CIA agent. That's why they tried to keep me off the international airways, like in like in Al Jazeera before the Iraq war, when I was exposing the war. My whole life, I've been fighting against these CIA wars and exposing them. And I did it intelligently, kindly, tolerantly, decently, never advocating violence, showing the truth that these wars, I was America first, and I really meant it. It looks like Trump didn't mean it, and many others. And I've been talking about the same things Tucker's talking about now, and many, many others, about the Jewish, basically, if you just want to make it into the reality, and it's not just the Zionists take over America, it's the Jewish take over America. It's this Jewish culture, this Jewish religion, which is actually a religion of ethnicity. It's called the Holy Seed. The Holy Seed. The seed is talked about 200 times in the Old Testament. Seed is just what you think it is. It's just like the seed, the genetics that make corn or wheat or Jews or Gentiles. Your genealogy. And Jesus said genealogy is not important. And human rights activists, whether you believe in Jesus or not, believe that you got to treat people fairly. You should judge people by what they do and not simply what their genealogy is. You can recognize genealogy, and you can recognize the right of any people to preserve their own diversity and their freedom. That makes sense, doesn't it? And that's in a way of freedom, that people, different people have different languages. Should they be allowed to speak that language, sing their songs, their traditions, believe in their mythologies and histories and traditions and heroes? Should they? Of course they should. But if you're a true humanitarian and you're a true believer in Christ, a follower of Christ, then you believe in the idea that everybody should be treated fairly. That's all they were trying to say. So let's go back here to Tucker, and we're gonna talk about a thing he did. He started talking off about Rwanda and the genocide that existed in Rwanda, and a woman named Powell, who wrote a whole book about genocide. And she was in the Obama administration. But when Jews started committing genocide, she said not one word against that genocide. In fact, she supported the genocide against the Palestinians, which has been going on for decades now. Evil, murder, wars, destructions. And like I said before, and I can argue with somebody, technically, I can argue with it historically. I can make a case, I believe, that the First World War had a lot of Jewish influence in having the First World War. And the reason why Jews as a group, as a very well-organized group, by the way, they always have been the most ethnocentric group on the world, and having a lot of economic and social power in the world. Jews all over the world supported communism. Now, when I say this, I can refer to the New York Times, the leading publication in the United States of America, talking about how when Jews loved communism. I can show you an article by Brett Stevens for the New York Times about how his uncle and just about every intellectual Jew in America was supporting the communist movies. That's shocking, right? Communism was a global movement, a globalist movement of Jews, led by Jews. And this was said by just about everybody who was anybody that knew anything about, including Winston Churchill, talking about how communism was a Jewish-controlled movement. Communism. And that was turned out to be the greatest murdering force in the world. Well, believe it or not, this was a project of theirs. It's even talked about in the Jewish Encyclopedia, how the Jewish affinity for communism. And many other Jewish organizations. Rabbi Stephen Wise, the leading rabbi in America, said, some people call it Judaism, other people call it communism. And he supported it. He supported the Russian Revolution. First off, they thought the Tsar was anti-Semitic. They hated the Christian church in Russia, too, just like they hated the Catholic church in Rome. Even people like Sigmund Freud, the great psychologist, that's what they call him. The cocaine addict, pedophile psychologist. His great pastime was raping goy girls and saying to his own fellow Jews, you know, like one Jewish woman who was working under Freud said she was liking this follower of Jung, the German psychologist who was competing with Freud. But his psychology was much more healthy than Freud. Freud was full of the so-called the scatology kind of thing, the idea that somehow how you were potty trained affects your character so much. Jung wasn't into that stuff, for sure. And he wasn't into the sexology bullshit. But Freud himself said his favorite person in history was Hannibal, because Hannibal allegedly was a Semite, that it was from the Near East, and he identified with Hannibal because Hannibal was standing up against Rome, and Rome became the Holy Roman Empire, the Christian Empire. He hated Rome, so he identified with Hannibal. This is Sigmund Freud, and he said he told this young woman that thought about marrying one of Jung's devotees, and he says to her, says, I've dismissed any of my predilection for Aryans. No more towheads, no more blondes. We need stalwart, dark Zionists is what we need in the world. He was a racist Jew, but he's never characterized that way. And he promoted every kind of dissolution of the family as what he calls an incomparably freer sexual life. It's fine if your wife betrays you. It's fine if your husband betrays you. We shouldn't push morality. No. But this is the morality that the Jews installed upon our society. It was a group effort, and it was a powerful, successful effort. And here's Trump, Tucker talking about Rwanda. Well, we're going to get into some stuff here that's so shocking but so interesting, and I will make some comments for it as he talks. Here we go.
Something horrible, in fact, genocide can happen. The world can know it's happening and allow it to happen. That's the lesson. And it's a lesson that a young Harvard law student called Samantha Power thought about a lot. if she's getting her degree in Cambridge. How can a genocide take place within living memory of the Second World War and the civilized world does nothing about it? Well, in 2002, she published a book on that exact question. The book was called A Problem from Hell. It won the Pulitzer Prize and all kinds of other prizes. And Samantha Powers, this was pretty simple. The world cannot allow genocide to happen again. If people find out this is happening, they have to act. That's the mark of civilization. Do you stop mass murder of civilians on ethnic grounds, genocide? And if you don't, then you're not civilized. The United States, she wrote, has a moral obligation to intervene with force if it determines that a genocide is underway. What's the point of having the world's largest military if you can't at least try to prevent a genocide? Well, as noted, she was lauded for this. The book changed her life. She became one of the most famous people in the world. And time, was advisor to then-candidate Barack Obama. He was elected in 2008 and promptly made her the chairman of the Atrocity Prevention Board. You may not have known such a thing existed, but it does. It's an interagency group. It still exists. Name slightly different. But its purpose is in the name, preventing atrocities, using the power of the U.S. government to prevent atrocities. Well, there weren't many well-publicized genocides during the first Obama term, but Samantha Powers stuck around. She wound up teaching at Harvard Law School, and then Biden is elected or becomes president in 2020, and she goes back into the White House. At this point, she is the head of USAID, the United States Agency for International Development. She also has a seat on the National Security Council. She is a high-level foreign policy person in the Biden administration. Well, it just so happens that during her time there, the thing that she warned about, wrote about, actually happened. Another genocide. This one took place in Gaza. The territory of Israel has been since 1967. And shortly after attacks by Hamas into southern Israel, in October of 2023, Israel decided to murder as many people as it possibly could in Gaza with the aim of getting the entire population to leave Gaza so Israel could take over Gaza. Now, we're not guessing about this because Israeli officials said out loud, this is our plan. And then they tried to do it. Two interesting things. Samantha Power, famous for opposing genocide, said not a word about this. Of course, by this point, 30 years after the Rwandan genocide, Samantha Power's view of genocide appeared to have changed. So the way to fight genocide really was to empower women and girls in the LGBT community. Fight the patriarchy. That's how you prevent genocide. But when an actual genocide occurred on her watch, someone with a seat on the National Security Council, Samantha Power,
the answer to all those questions is very simple. It's called Jewish supremacism. It's called Jewish racism. It's called Jewish ethnocentrism. It's called a concentration of Jewish power, such as in the very proudly announced group called the Council of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, the 52 largest and richest Jewish organizations in the United States of America, like the American Jewish Committee, American Jewish Congress, the Jewish, we can just keep going on, Jewish World Congress, all these different organizations, ADL, all this stuff. And they have enormous control, and they're very dedicated to Jews. Not just Israel, but they're all dedicated to Israel. And they believe Israel is critical for Jewish power. They want that center of power in the world, and they want the power to where they have a sovereign country where they can do what they want without prying eyes. It's much, much harder operating in a country of goyim, primarily, even if they're controlling the goyim, to maybe get away with everything. It's just like the way they stole our enriched uranium from the so-called Apollo Institute. And I'm not talking about the Apollo space program. I'm talking about Apollo, which was making enriched uranium, 90% rich, enough to make atomic bombs by the quantity. and how their evidence is overwhelming and even exposed by our own intelligence agencies. And that's what I'm saying. That was still suppressed by the Jewish-controlled media in America and the Jewish-controlled Congress of America. But yes, hundreds of pounds of this highly enriched uranium was stolen by Israel and shipped to Israel. If so much of it was transported, even though it was in containers that try to contain the radiation, that the radiation in the area after this happened was about 50% higher than normal radiation policies in that area or any other area of the United States. Because this was a theft, massively. And of course, this was against America, against the will of our country. And I believe, and even Tucker has had a lot of shows now showing they probably absolutely murdered Kennedy because he said, you have to stop this atomic weapons development, obviously, or else all these other countries are going to want to do it. That caused Pakistan to do it. It caused, I'm sure, North Korea to pursue it all because Israel was. And they knew that Israel was inviolate because of that. Nobody would dare attack you. And that's why Iran probably needs to have one. There's no evidence that Iran's going to use it any more than Pakistan has used it. They haven't. Nor has North Korea used it. But Jews promoting these horrific weapons are insane. The only one that's ever used that, by the way, is the United States of America. And I think that was an announcement of Jewish power because we came out of the Second World War. It was not us that was victorious. It was the Jews, ultimately, who were victorious because we destroyed most of Europe. We delivered half of Europe into Bolshevism, which had huge Jewish influence over it. And we're still trying to promote communism around the world. Later, the Russians began to overthrow communism, and that's when Russia became our enemy. That's when we had these stories about the evil Russians. And by the way, they never say, it's not all Russians. It's just those evil communist Russians. You know, but us, you know, we can't say that, though. The Hunter Biden laptop was not a disgusting exposure of the corruption of Biden's father and America to these Jews. It was Jews who ran the Burisma oil company in Ukraine. It was a corrupt company. It was Jews. And it was Jews that one of the co-leaders of the company was absolutely, Kolomoisky, was actually the guy that promoted Zelensky. And the first country of Europe with both a Jewish prime minister and a Jewish president at the same time. And this war against Ukraine was actually a war against Ukraine, not a war for Ukraine against Russia. It was a war that was a death knell for millions of Ukrainians, at least 1.5 to 2 million, as well as a lot of Russians. Both the countries lauded the Cossacks. Jews hate Cossacks. This was an ethnic conflict. Even Jeffrey Sachs admits that. Let's go on.
Change. What she did not say was, you're absolutely right. I wrote a book saying the civilized world can't allow genocide to happen. And then I allowed it to happen. In October of 2023, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, said out loud in a public speech, the Palestinians are Amalek. Amalek, a reference that many in the West didn't get, but everyone in the region understood. And it's a reference to 1 Samuel 15. The first verses in it, which you should read, because it tells you a lot about what Israel's doing now. But those verses describe God's command to eliminate a tribe called the Amalekites.
By the way, that's true. But it was written by the lying scribes. It was written by the same Pharisees that lied about Jesus Christ, according to our New Testament. Even the Romans didn't even want to crucify Christ. They didn't want to kill Christ, but they were dealing with these Jews, and they had a policy of trying to give them certain rights and leeway in the countries they ruled over. It was like a contract between them. He tried to say to the Jews, "I see no fault in this man." He said, I turn it over to you. It's your decision to make. And the Jews decided they wanted him killed. And the Sanhedrin already decreed that. And the actual Jewish Talmud, which is their chief religious text, says specifically, and this is in the great book called Jesus and the Talmud by Peter Schaefer, former head of Judaic Studies, one of the leading Judaic scholars in the world, also was forwarded by some of the chief rabbis of Judaism. And it shows that the Talmud actually alleges that they're so proud of the crucifixion of Jesus, they're so proud of that wonderful event, that they claim that it wasn't the Romans that even crucified him. It was we Jews crucified him. We gave him four different deaths. We killed him four times. We hated him so much. And then they add insult to injury. We brought Christ back to life by a sorcerer named Onkelos, a necromancer. People brought back the dead for evil purposes. We brought back Christ to life again so he could denounce himself and his own followers. And they ask him, "Well, what is a person that, you know, that goes against his people like you did? What is it? What does he deserve?" And Jesus says to him, "What he deserves to be boiled in human excrement for all of eternity, tortures for all of eternity." Yeah, right. This is evil. This is Judaism. This is the most sacred, important book of Judaism, which is what's studied in yeshiva, even far more than the Torah. So whatever you say about the Torah, but the Torah, you have to understand, all these centuries, what we really use is the common Bible today, the common Bible for most of Christianity, that actually took place in the 15, 16, 1700s. That's when it came about. And they actually took it, instead of taking it from the Septuagint, the Greek version, they took it actually from the Masoretic text, which was the text of Judaism, which had been redacted and changed for centuries and centuries, a vicious, vile religion that claimed that they crucified Christ and hated Christ and did every sort of evil, and that Gentiles had to worship them and oppose the teachings of Christ. These are the same ones from whence we got this redacted Bible from. So I have questions about that Bible. And I understand that many Orthodox Catholics and religious and other people in evangelicalism and the Protestant faith, but just about all the early people talked about the lying scribes, and they talked about the fact that it is in no way should it be taken literally, and it's evil stuff in there. So when Tucker says that Christ commanded, well, let's get it straight. It's not necessarily what God or Christ commanded. It's certainly not what Christ commanded. And it's certainly not what God commanded. It's what the people who were redacting and controlling this scripture that became commonly known, and the first examples we have of it are just actually a couple hundred years before Christ. And the Torah wasn't even practiced by the average Jew until that time, until the Hasmonean period. They didn't have mitzvah baths like they have in the Torah. They didn't have circumcision. It wasn't totally required. They allowed intermarriage to a great extent. They didn't follow the Jewish dietary laws. They didn't follow the strict worship of the Sabbath. They didn't do these things. So Judaism really became radicalized at the Hasmonean period, and it was affected by the centuries. And the Bible that we took of the Old Testament was something controlled by the same Jewish evil forces that Christ called out as lying scribes, as children of the devil. You know, he said to them, "If you love me, you'd be of my father. But you're not of my father. You're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father he will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. And the lusts of him you will do. The lusts of him. Sounds like the Epstein class, doesn't it? Let's go further.
Twice in the first month of the Gaza operation, you don't need to guess what the point of this is. The point is to destroy every man, woman, and child and infant in Gaza. And they said about doing that. But it wasn't just Netanyahu who said that. It was a lot of different authorities in Israel. And in fact, as someone who's been keeping a list of this for a while, it might be worth reading them. Just so everyone knows, this isn't blood libel. It is true. On October 9th, so 3 days after the Hamas attacks, the defense minister of Israel, their own Pete Hegseth, his plans for Gaza, not for Hamas, for the entire territory, for the over 2 million people who live there. And we're quoting, no electricity, no food will be allowed in. We are fighting human animals. Not human beings, human animals. Well, the deputy mayor of Jerusalem that winter responded, not to say, whoa, settle down, defense minister. Calling your opponents animals is, of course, genocidal talk. No, the deputy mayor of Jerusalem thought he didn't go far enough. And he said this, they're not human animals. They're not human beings. They are subhuman. And then he said that the Palestinians of Gaza should be buried alive with bulldozers.
Let's just pause it right there, folks. They should be buried alive with bulldozers. And who were the victims? Well, according to the Israeli government, 19,000 people were Hamas people. There's 2.4 million people in Gaza. And the death toll is in the hundreds of thousands now. That's the real, true death toll, really. And that's documented by Lancet and other scientific studies they've done of wars in comparing the trauma killed by direct force, like the massive bombing and so forth, and those that they can't find in the rubble, and those who died from the other aspects of it, the disease that comes from it. And we're going to have some testimony here for this in a minute. Now, I want you to notice again that Netanyahu, when he told his own people, you have to follow the teachings in Samuel. Yeah. Samuel. And you got to kill every man, woman, and child. That's what he gave to the army, too, by the way, that exact verse. And he called the Palestinians Amalekites. There's no evidence that Palestinians are Amalekites anyway. And even if they were Amalekites, an old fighting force that Israel opposed years ago. And by the way, even when that commandment was supposed to be uttered to kill all the men, women, children, even suckling babies, for God's sakes, let's talk about something that Jesus Christ would absolutely condemn on any nature. And he also said to us very clearly in the New Testament that his father had the same spirit of him, that he was the same person, that he loved all of humanity just like that he his son did. Literally, think about this. So, and Tucker goes on to say about how that it's obviously it's evil to kill suckling babies. But even that event that's described in Samuel, 1 Samuel 15 or 2 Samuel 15, if I remember right, and in there, even that, you know, is like, that's written in the Old Testament. But is it really written by the finger of God, or is it written by, you know, who Jesus called lying scribes, the same scribes who were writing then and were redacting and affecting and editing the Old Testament again and again and again and again. And the first practices, because they were really only practicing the Torah for about 100 years before Christ. Literally, that's really the evidence we have, and we can see this archaeologically. We can see the fact that Jewish homes have thousands of pig bones, so they're eating pig, which is against their dietary law, which can be stoned for doing, and catfish, and mizrah baths. And by the way, we know the names of people from the gravestones, and we know the names from their inscriptions and the papyri and so forth, that even though the Jews, if they were practicing the Torah and knew what the Torah was, they would be actually practicing the Passover. No evidence that they were practicing the Passover until the Hasmonean period. And there's no evidence that they even named their own children. Now, when the Hasmoneans came in and promoted the Torah to the Jewish people, then, man, it was an explosion of names. Moshe, Moses, explosion of names. Jacob, explosions of names. Abraham, Solomon, whatever. We can just continue on and on. And David, same name I'm named after as a Christian because of that Old Testament, right? But you got to think about it, right? This is what occurred. But guess what? We know what the names were because we can look at the gravestones. We can look at the receipts to people. We can look at the marriage contracts and the marriage agreements, you know, and all the other things. We can look at all that. Nobody was running around named David. Nobody was running around named Jacob. Nobody was running around named Abraham. So what's the deal, folks? If they would have been, if they were following the Torah as they were in the Hasmonean period, where they're adopting these radical things to separate them, and the reason why they separated them, the reason why this became the institution of Judaism, even more so, it was already there at the time of Christ, but it became even more peaked in what's called rabbinic Judaism, and it got more and more radical in the centuries, culminating in things like the Kabbalah in the Middle Ages, the Kabbalah, the Yohar, the Tanya, and of course, the Talmud, which says, not does it say that only Jews are men, it says the best of Gentiles must be killed. This is no joke. And it says in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, that Jews must rule the world and the Gentiles have to come to them and the Gentiles will build their walls. Is that the Iron Dome? We're going to play more of this now. But, you know, they lied. They lied on October 7th to the whole world through their power in the Jewish press. 40 babies, Israeli babies, Jewish babies. It's always Jews when they're victims. It's never Jews when they commit the atrocities. You ever knew that? When they say Israelis committed atrocities or genocide in Gaza, when they say that, right? Is it really simply Israelis? No, it's Jews, because Israel is the Jewish state of Israel. The Jews totally control the state. The 20% of the population are Palestinians and others, 20%, right? But you can be sure that those Semites, so-called Semites, and Jews don't call themselves Semites, you can be sure that they despise the Jewish state of Israel. They despise Jewish supremacy. They despise the Jewish genocides going on and the suppression of their own people. They despise those. Now think about that just for a moment. Weigh that in your mind rationally. Think about it. Think about that just for a moment, please. So is it Israelis that are doing it? No, the only Israelis doing this are the people that control Israel, which made it into a Jewish state, and say only Jews have self-determination. And they just recently passed a law that only Gentiles can be executed with the death penalty. Jews still cannot be executed with the death penalty in Israel. Think about that one for a second. And guess what it says? That's the same thing it says in the Talmud. They didn't dare do this later because as they get more radical, they're more radical today than they ever were before. This is a threat to all humanity. And I can show you the aspects of this. You got, I'm fired up now, aren't I? Here we go.
On the American line. What would you do with those dozens of people who live there? Move them to other countries, Egypt, maybe even the United States. Get them out. Kill enough of them that the rest leave. The survivors want to flee. And so the aim was genocidal from the very first day. The Israelis announced it. Okay. countless times on television the people who are paying for this genocide. Right. Civilians, that's why we are paying them and giving them weapons to do so. Watch this. I would encourage the other side to so lightly throw around the idea of Palestinian civilians, as is frequently said. I don't think we would so lightly throw around the term innocent Nazi civilians during World War II.
Of course not. All those Germans, this is what you call blood libel, isn't it? All those Germans, even the babies in their cribs, along with their innocent mothers, who were burned alive in German cities, hundreds and hundreds of thousands, and millions later raped by the incoming Soviet troops, and a lot of American troops too, by the way, unfortunately, because that's the hatred that they developed against the German people. But this is reality. It's a fact, folks. It's a fact. Think about it. Start weighing this. Understand this. This war could have been avoided. Yeah, they say, sure. Well, yeah, there's no innocent Palestinians, just like there are no innocent of those Nazis. Is that what was going on? All these babies in their cribs who were burned alive along with their innocent mothers? They were going around with a swastika tattooed to their forehead? Is that what they were doing? Were they all guilty of horrific crimes against Jews? It was a Jew, by the way, and Jewish media in America, leading media like the New York Times and Washington Post and Philadelphia paper, many, many others, that promoted a book, literally, reviewed it positively, of Theodor N. Kaufmann, a Jew who wrote a book called Germany Must Perish. This was before America got in the war. This was before any allegations of any sort of genocide going on. And the first page of this book says a comprehensive book showing planning for and creating or doing the complete destruction of the German nation and the eradication of all the German people. That's 80 million people, folks. Germans. And these are fellow Christians, by the way, overwhelmingly, as you know. Think about it. The greatest mass murder of all time was the Second World War. And anybody would commit any crime against any civilians or children or women or people, populations in general, is a terrible thing. It's got to be condemned in the strongest possible way. Whatever Nazis did to do that is terrible. But it's just as terrible what the Jewish communists did. It's just as terrible what the Soviets did in the Second World War, raping practically every woman from 8 to 80, innocent women and children. And the same thing is talked about in Numbers in the Old Testament. 32,000 virgins, and they describe them as women, children, because that's what most of those virgins were. They got married early then. And virgins, most of what we call virgins of the Midianites, or any of these other groups, were children. And Chronicle says, by the scribes, take them for yourself. And I don't even know if that actually did happen. There's a lot of historians say that didn't happen. But here's the point. It's this kind of rhetoric that causes people to say it's justified, just like that person in the Congress was telling us that it's justified to kill those German little babies. Well, we did it to Germany, didn't we? Yeah, and we should have done it. It was a great crime. And we shouldn't have bombed Nagasaki and Hiroshima and killed all those innocent people. And in Nagasaki, Hiroshima was probably the most Christian city in all of Japan. That's the reality. I'm out of time, folks. Listen, I'm going to do this in the archive. I'm going to continue to play more of this, Tucker, along with my commentary. I know you're enjoying it. And in just a few minutes, the addendum and the archive will be up. But go to davidduke.com and support my cause, davidduke.com. But again, I'm not online right now. We're working on it. Please contribute to us so we can get back online. And it's box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. I need your support, and I'll see you shortly in the archive. Love you. Bye-bye.